Okay, we start today from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, Masechet Shkalim. Now, let me just point out to you that there is no Talmud Bavli on Masechet Shkalim, which is a big question. How in the world did Masechet Shkalim get to be part of the Daf Yomi, which was supposedly the way in which we learn the Bavli through? And in reality, obviously the question is deeper than that, because we do the Daf Yomi because that's the way it was printed. But it was printed that way, not because some printer needed to print it up, but because that was the original, the Kisvei Yad that we have, the early Kisvei Yad that we had this Masechet Shkalim incorporated together with the Bavli. And what is even more astounding is that the Masechet Shkalim in the Bavli, which is the Masechet Shkalim of the Yerushalmi, is not the same as the Masechet Shkalim in the Yerushalmi. Because as time went on, there were all types of Bavli influences in the Yerushalmi. So apparently what happened was that this was a very early development. And there's a question, okay, why was there such a development? The simple explanation is because of the fact that every single Masechet in Moed has Gemara in the Bavli, except for Shkalim. So in order to be Mashlim, the Masechet, they put in Masechet Shkalim. Okay, anyway, it's an excuse. But the bottom line is that it seems to be an extremely early development. And there are some who bring Pirushei HaGeonim on Masechet Shkalim, which is part of the Bavli. So whatever the reason is, and obviously one thing that's very important is the interrelationship of Psachim and Shkalim. And why is there an interrelationship? You'll note that the timing is wrong, right? In other words, if you want to say what your Bubby's name is, Mordechai, this should be done before we start. Mordechai?
Yes, it's Esther Bas Akiva.
Okay. Esther Bas Akiva, Lamiat Mishmata. So you'll notice that in terms of the Zmanim, we start Be'echad Ba'adar Mashmir Malashkalim, which means that we ought to have Masechet Shkalim in terms of the Zmanim, we ought to have it before Psachim, because it's Chal earlier. The reality is that the timing of it is instead we put it after Psachim, and there's a very good reason for this, because the real, if it's Meramis to the real interrelationship between Masechet Psachim and Masechet Shkalim, it's because, as the Ramban explains in the Chumash, the Yetziah Mimitzrayim was only completed with the Binyan of the Mishkan. And that means that until we had this mitzvah of giving the Shkolim and the opening of the Aved of the Mishkan, which was the next Nisan, and that related HaChodesh HaZalachem, we're going to see that the Mokar, right on this daf, we're going to see that the Mokar of this entire halacha is in fact from HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodeshim. Therefore, HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodeshim comes both before Pesach and after Pesach. So the Chodesh Nisan that was B'Shana HaRishona, that was the time in which all of the mitzvahs of Psachim and the Asiri B'Chodesh HaZev, Shabbos HaGadol, and so on. But the Hashlama of Pesach is the mitzvah to give the money for the karbonis that are going to begin on the day of the Chinuch of the Mishkan. And because of that, I believe that there's a much deeper connection between the two, and therefore there was no way that we could have one without the other. In fact, it wasn't just one without the other. It was the fact that the Inyanim of Pesach we can discuss in Bava, but the Inyanim of the Binyan HaMishkan and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash was seen as being something that was Negea Dafke Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, the interrelationship that we have in the Haggadah Shel Pesach of Hashata Hocha and B'Shana Haba will be Ba'arad Yisrael is also Merumas in Psachim Shkolin. And therefore, what we're being Isaac in right now is the continuation of the Vayevienu Ala Makom Hazeh of Arami Yovid Avi, and because of that, it's very, very much part of the Bavli, even though it's Mokra as Yerushalmi. And that explains why it's very anomalous. The Masechet is very anomalous because it does not maintain the correct Lashonis of the Yerushalmi. It has a lot of Bavliisms in it. And the structure of it and the way that the language develops is a strange amalgam of Lashon Bavel, of the Aramaic in Bavel, and of the Derech of the Yerushalmi, which seems to say that it isn't the standard Yerushalmi, but it's an integration of the approach of Eretz Yisrael and of Bavel for the Inyanim of the Shkol. So as I mentioned before we begin, what we're really beginning to be Oisik with here, as the Gemara will explain, is Achidesh HaZelechem. And the reason that we need to talk about Be'echad Ba'adar Mashmim Al Hashkalim is because of the fact that we learn out from Achodesh HaZelechem that you have to be Chadesh and start to bring the Karbonos from the first of Nisan. So since everything that we do is 30 days before, so remember we start being Oisek in the Dinim of Pesach, Shloshim Yom Kerem LePesach, we're Oisek in the Hachana for bringing the Shkalim, Shloshim Yom Kedem, the Truma of the Shkalim, which takes place on the first of Nisan. Now, before we talk about, let's just get a little bit of an overall background to what this is all about. So remember that we had, back in Truma and Kitisa and Pikudei, we had a very complex interrelationship of the various types of Trumot that are necessary to bring at the time of the Midbar. And there was a remez over there to three completely different type of trumot. One of them was the zota truma, zahav, kesev, and nechoshet, where at least 13 or 15 different things, which are all part of the actual binyan of the Mishkan or of the asiyas bigdei kohuna. That was a one-time truma, which continues as part of the idea of the, we still have, that people can give whenever they want. They can give money to Hegdesh for the Bedek HaBayit. So essentially, we continue to build all the time. We always improve the Beis HaMikdash, fix the Beis HaMikdash. And because of that, we have that Truma still around. That's called a Truma that everybody gives what they want. Then we had another remez to a Truma, Zot HaTruma, we're going to darshan in the Gemara, where everybody gives Machtzis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKedesh. There were two such things. One of them was the Trumata Adanim, which that we learn about in Pekudei, that what was given in order to count B'nai Yisrael, that was mentioned in Kitisa, that was given in order to make the Adanim, and it exactly equaled the number of Adanim, that was exactly the equivalent of the number of Kikres, of Shekel HaKedesh, of 3,000 Shekel, which equaled the number of B'nai Yisrael in the Midbar. So because of that, there could be no variation in that. We wanted an exact amount of silver that would be able to be brought to the Adonim, and then the 1775, that shkolin that were left over, was precisely what was needed to prepare for the American Revolution. I'm sorry, it was precisely what was needed to prepare the decorations around the tops of the Amudim that we had around the Chatzar, but it was exactly mutam to the number of B'nai Yisrael. Over there, you could not give more and could not give less. But there was also the Machtzis HaShekel, B'Shekel HaKedesh, that had nothing to do with the Trumata Adanim. And that Trumata Adanim we only find out about later when we talk in Pekudei about how we utilize that money for the Adanim. Here, we're going to analyze it in terms of the words of Truma that are mentioned. And that is not an exact amount. Why do I say it's not an exact amount? Because during the various generations, remember there were changes made to the monetary systems, and there was a different amount of silver that was called a shekel. And not only that, there were times when they started using larger coins, sla'im, drachmons, and then the halacha is that even if the machtzis ha-shekel ends up becoming larger than the shekel that was in the Mishkan, which was 340. Well, actually, we'll talk about it because it's not really true. That's only in modern terms. But it was a certain number of Seorim, of Kesef. So if they increase the normal usage, the term of shekel, and now the shekel becomes much larger, or the coin that is used to replace the shekel, the sela is larger, then you would give a machzis sela, as long as you don't give less. So because of that, that amount is open. The only point that is important is that the usher cannot give more, and the dal cannot give less, because everybody has to be exactly the same when it comes to the korbanos, so that everybody's chelek is precisely the same. But what the same is not all that important. When it came to the trumata adanim, as the Gemara will point out, it's very important. So therefore, what we're talking about over here, the shkolim that we're talking about over here, are the machzis hashekel, which are used to bring the korbanos, not the matanis that are given as they were at the time of the Mishkan to the Berak HaBayit, and certainly not the one time in history, Trumat HaAdanim, which was a specific, very specific amount of silver that was used for the construction of the Mishkan. So, what exactly did we do? Well, we went around in every city gathered one Machzis HaShekel for each individual. We'll see later on who is Chayev, whether women are Chayev or Ketanim Chayev and so on, that we'll talk about. But we collected those, and then we shipped it from all over the world. This was a chiyuv, whether you lived in Australia, whether you lived in Bavel, this was a chiyuv. We shipped it to Eretz Yisrael. Now, obviously, if you were shipping things from Australia and you didn't have air shipments, you would not get your shkolim there in time to be mechadesh, to be able to take from the Truma Chadasha. Because the shkolim, when they were brought into Yerushalayim, they were brought into a special lishka. And in that lishka, there were three giant containers, kupot, that held 9 sa' apiece. They were filled with this silver, and anything that was beyond that was kept in the lishka, but not in these containers. That, as we'll see, that was called the shiyore halishka. That was the additional money that was kept in the lishka above and beyond the 3 kupot. The 3 kupot were used specifically to buy korbanos. Now, you will recall that there were many other usages that were made from the shiyore halishka. We used to pay for different things, pay for instructions of shchita to the kohanim, pay for making of the ketoret, pay for the people who used to work in the ketoret. We used to pay for the upkeep of various things. That's all we'll talk about from the shiyore halishka. But we used those 3 big kupot for the korbanos. 3 times a year, we used to take from those 3 kupot into smaller kupot. And we would take out 3 sa'ah kupot 3 times a year, which meant that we used up all of the 9 sa'ah over the course of the year. Now, it's not clear why we did all of this. What it turns out at the end of the sugya is very simple. We wanted to make sure that all of Klal Yisrael would have a chelek in the korbanos. The money that was coming in from Australia would only get there a half a year later. The money that was coming in from Bavel would only get there 3 months later. So what we did was, when we took the truma of the lishka, the Beis Din made a tnai that the money that is being brought currently is being brought for all of the shkolim that have been collected all over the world, whether or not we actually have those shkolim here in Yerushalayim with us. So they were there for the shkolim that would yet arrive. In practical terms, since over the course of the year, all of the shkolim actually ended up being in Yerushalayim, because by the time we did the 3rd one, everybody's shkolim, even them from Australia, was there. So in that sense, everyone had both a halachic chelek in every korban that was brought and a physical chelek of their money being present in the lishka at the time that we ended up bringing. So we'll be discussing these didn't do not come out 100% clearly right away from the sugya, but this is what ends up happening. So because of the fact that the Torah tells us to be mechadesh the year on the first day of Nisan, and remember that was the day that was Notol Eser Atarot, and that day continues throughout history to be Notol the Atara of being the first of the Truma Chadasha and being the first of the korbanos that are brought from the Truma Chadasha. Okay, so now with that in mind, let's take a look at when we start making sure that people will get their shkolim ready, which we do, shloshim yayim, kedem, the same way we do to all of this money. So the Halakha Mishnah begins. Be'achad, be'adar, mashmi'ina lashkalim. So Beis Din sends people out all around the country, in all different places, and we announce the fact that it's time to start getting your money together, so you will be ready to send your machzis hashekel at the time that the shliach is going to start taking it to Yerushalayim. On the same time that we make that announcement, we also make an announcement about kilayim, and the shluchei Beis Din say, make certain that you get rid of the kilayim that is in your reshus. Now, there's some question about what the kilayim is that we're talking about over here, because according to many of the mefarshim, the din here was not about the actual growth of kilayim; it was about the seeds that were going to be used in kilayim. So, if you have 1/24th or more of your seedness, then the planting is called a planting of kilayim. Once that would be growing, then you would need to get rid of it completely. Only if you got rid of the amount of lower, that it should be less than 1/24, which is 1/4 of a kav per saw of seed, then it's not considered to be kilayim. That seems to be the halacha, at least according to the Rosh. This is the way the Rav understands it over here. Not kipshutei of the Mishnah, which other Rishonim do learn kipshutei shel Mishnah, that as long as you have less than 1/24th that's actually growing in the field, it's okay. As I say, the Rosh and the Rav understand that is once it's been planted and it's more than 1/24th, you have to get rid of every last piece of kilayim. Okay, but this is nogea more the dinim of kilayim. But in any event, either the approach here is that they are mashmiyim to get rid of the kilayim in your seeds, or they're talking about getting rid to less than 1/24th of the kilayim in your field. Now, on the 15th day of Adar, some serious things happen. First of all, the 15th day of Adar is the day in which we read the Megillah for the Krachim. And in that sense, it's, now this is very strange. I mean, why are we talking about the 15th? Why do we not mention the 14th? Because, gentlemen, we're not interested in telling you everything that happens in Adar. That is not the point of our sugya. The point of the Mishnah is to tell us what the things are that are mechayev Beis Din every year beyond the simple hachraza on shkolim and on kilayim. There are other things that we want to link to something that everybody knows about, which is the Kriyas HaMegillah B'Krachim. It's not coming to tell me the din of Kriyas HaMegillah B'Krachim. It's making a simon. So on the 15th, when we have the Kriyas HaMegillah B'Krachim, we also start around the country doing many important things. Now, I must tell you again, without any raya, that my suspicion is that this idea fits in very much together with the reason for why Shkolim is included here in the Bavli from the Yerushalmi in exactly this place after Maseches Pesachim. As I mentioned earlier, it has to do with the original relationship of Achidosh HaZalachem, as the Ramban explains it, that the Geula only happened completely after the Nidvas HaMishkan, and therefore only at the beginning of the second Nisan was there the conclusion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is why we go from Pesachim to Shkolim. Furthermore, I suspect that because of that, we use Dafka Yerushalmi, because the Inyan of the Beis HaMikdash and Vayavienu al HaMakom HaZeh is Nogea specifically the Talmud Yerushalmi, and it's because of that that I suspect that we utilize the simen of Chamishasar, because those are only cities that were Mukha from Yemos Yoshua bin Nun, which was Lichvei de Knisa La'aretz, as it says in Megillah. So putting all of these things together, we are Mechayev the various issues that relate to our Geula Mimitzrayim and our Knisa into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the next words, Mitaknim et Hadrachim, is mevusas also on a very important element of Knesset L'Aretz. And that is that the fundamental tikkun of drachim is the drachim that is the chiyuv of the Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim, which are the drachim to the Arei Miklat. The drachim to the Arei Miklat were part of the dinim of Knisa La'aretz, and therefore they are included over here together with Chamisha Asar Bo. Now, once we have a chiyuv of the Bezdin HaGadol of Metaknim Es HaDrachim to the Arei Miklat, we bring in the overall chiyuv of Bezdin, even local Batei Dinim, to see to it that local roads are repaired as well. And that would include Harachovot, which are the streets, possibly the streets that are along every street that opens into the Rishos HaRabim, or possibly it refers to the Rechovot of the Shuk, meaning of the main streets, the Kardo streets, and everything else maybe is not. That's a machlokas. Vet mikvot hamayim, and because part of our hachana is the takana to be tohar and to have everything ready for the aliyah l'regel, and since this is the time that the winter rains have just finished, and therefore it is time to fix the roads so that they will be ready for the aliyah l'regel for those who are coming up to the Beis HaMikdash, umitzaynin et hakfarot, v'yosin kol tzarchei rabim, which the Gemara is going to ask, what does that end? We'll see later on. Mitzaynin et hakfarot, in order to avoid any type of tuma, now that we're going to have people going all over Eretz Yisrael, the tziyun was done with pouring lime, which is the color of bone, to remind people that there is a kever here. And because during the winter there was so much rain, the likelihood is that the lime has been washed away. So we did it again to make sure that people, specifically Kohanim, but anybody coming up to the Beis HaMikdash with Tyrus, would be well aware of how to avoid a mokum that would make things tame. And then on the 15th, which was 2 weeks after the original Hachraza, Shluchei Beit Din actually go out to the fields to see whether the Kelayim has been avoided the way that the original Hachraza demanded. So, V'yotzim af al HaKelayim. Ask the Gemara why. Lama be'achad bi'adar? The reason is, K'dei she'avil Yisrael et she'kleihem ba'onatam v'titarem trumata lishka Mina Chadasha Bizmana. So we want people to be able to bring on the before the first day of Nisan, and this was the time that it was brought originally. So this was next to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and that way we would be able to bring the Truma Chadasha, which we do Biachad B'Nisan properly. And the why is this important for us? How does this become Ba'onasan? Because Vamar, Mar in the Yerushalmi is a contraction. Remember that Israelis never say Aleph. So Vamar means the Amar. The Amar, Reb Shmuel Bar Reb Yitzchak. So Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says, look, the first time that in history that we did the Truma HaLishka, we did it like we did it in the Midbar. The Midbar, we know that the first day was the first day of Nisan. That day was the time that we needed to start bringing the karbonos the way we bring it for all year round. That was the one of the Eser Atarot. And it says, Vayi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashenit b'echad l'chodesh u'kama mishkan. And it says in the Braisa that that day of the Hakamat HaMishkan, b'yom shu'umkam HaMishkan, bo b'yom nitruma truma. Since we needed to begin bringing the karbonos, that was the day that we did our first trumas of the Machzis HaShekel, and we made our first truma. When we say the truma, it doesn't mean that's when people brought. It means that's when we took the Trumat HaLishka. The Trumat HaLishka is the removal in the Shalosh Kupais, that became the way that we did it. We took out of each of the large kupot, the three large kupot of nine sa'a, we were terim, three smaller kupot of three sa'a, one from each one of those kupot, and we varied it each time we went all the way around, taking A, B, C, as we'll see, or alpha, beta, gamma, as we'll see later on. First we did alpha, beta, gamma, then we did beta, gamma, alpha, and then we did gamma, alpha, beta, in order to make sure that we did all of them equally. So this is the way it was done originally. And because of that, the first of Nisan, in order that there should be a zecher for that, so we do that every year on that time. Okay, this is the approach that we're making, Aliba de Reb Shmuel Bar Reb Yitzchak. However, Reb Tavi and Reb Yoshia, they disagree. It is not a zecher. It is an absolute chiyuv, they taina b'shem Reb Kahana, because it says the lashon of chodshei hashana, it says in two different places. Where we have in the dinim of the korbanos of Rosh Chodesh, in Pinchas, it says, Zot olas chodesh b'chodsho lechodshei hashana. You must admit, that seems to be stressing an awful lot of chodeshes. I mean, why do we need to say that? Well, remember, it says, HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodeshim, rishonu lachem lechodshei hashana. Fascinating. So lechodshei hashana appears in two places. In the original presentation of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, lechodshei hashana, and in the dinim of the korbanos of chodshei hashana. Zot olat chodesh bechodsho lechodshei hashana. What did lechodshei hashana mean in a chodesh hazeh lachem Nisan? So just like chodshei shenema in the pasuk of Rosh Chodesh Nisan b'yitzias Mitzrayim was ein monin, Ela minisan, af chodesh shenemar kan ein monim ela benisan. So therefore, when the Torah is said to be mechadesh and to bring for the chodshei hashana, it's clearly a reference to Nisan. This is not commemorative, Tainas Rav Kahana. This is meikar hadin. So you're supposed to be chadesh, as the Gemara in the Bavli says, chadesh, make it something new to be always bringing from the Truma HaChadasha. Don't bring the korbanos of your new year of Nisan from the money of your old year. So that is so profoundly related to Yochol Mirosh Chodesh by the dinim of the Seder and the relationship of the Chadesh to the whole concept of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that it brings further strength to our assumption that the interrelationship of Psochim and Shkalim is the Shlemus of the Geula. Omer Rabbi Yonah. So Rabbi Yonah said, I don't like the way that Reb Tavi just brought this raya, because he only brought half of the raya. The real proof requires you to know the beginning of the brisa, not just the end of the brisa. The end of the brisa points out that the lashon of lechodshei hashana is a reference to Nisan. Fine. But how do we know that we're supposed to bedavka be mechadesh to bring the new truma by Nisan? He didn't mention that. And it's crazy not to mention that, because the Braita at the beginning actually does bring that limud. How does somebody bring only the end and not the beginning? Very poor way of teaching. So Omar Rabbi Yonah, Shavak Reb Tavi Roshad Matnita V'Yomar Sofa. That's crazy. Who brings the Seifa and doesn't bring the Resha? Dalkin. Now, there are two different ways of learning Dalkin. Usually, Dalkin in the Yerushalmi means Dalokin, because is it not this way? And then you say what it is the way it should be. Over here, some of the Mefarshim understand Dalkin to be take this out of here, meaning Bar Minan. I don't like the way that this is done. Okay, it's possible, but as I say, it's not the way the word is usually used. Okay, so dalkin could mean this is the wrong way of bringing it, or probably it means, is it not the low cane? Is it not that it should be kahada the tani? Shouldn't it be the way that we said the brisa in the Sifri? The Sifri begins this brisa like this. Zot olat chodesh b'chodsho. So first of all, that sounds like you need to have every single month a new chodesh of truma. So yochu yeitorim b'kol chodesh v'chodesh. Talmud lomar b'chodsho l'chodshei hashana. No. There's one month that you do the truma for the whole year. B'chodesh echad hu toreim l'kol chodshei hashana. Okay, so you might think that this is the way that we explained it at the beginning, according to Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, that you choose whatever chodesh you want, and you make the chodesh Nisan we happen to choose because of the commemoration for the original. No, it's a diaraisa, continues the braisa. Yochu be'ezeh chodesh yirtzeh. Then we get to the end of the braisa, which is what he should have started with, Reb Tavi. Ne'emar kan lechodshei, ve'emar la'alan lechodshei, And that's what we said. Malakot sheshinem al halon ein monin ela minisan. Afakot sheshinem akan ein monin ela minisan. So now, if we put together both parts of the braita, and we take the lashon of the Gemara in the Bavli that says chadesh v'havei mitruma chadasha, all of the stress on the chodesh that's mentioned three times becomes suddenly clear. There's a mitzvah to do things afresh every single year. And the mitzvah to do things afresh is to do once for all of the year. And the mitzvah to do things afresh once for all of the year is a mitzvah that we learn out from HaChodesh HaZalachem, which is a reference to Nisan. So put it all together and we have a beautiful understanding of why it is that there's such an importance for bringing Shkolim specifically on Rosh Chodesh Nisan and how much it relates to the Hischatris of our Geula. The reality is, as I said, we do three Trumas at three separate times, as we're going to see as we go along. That is done, as we shall see, on the simple level. It's just to spread things out in a way that will make people aware. It's like sort of like the pious, right? So obviously we could have done one of those piousim, and that would have given us the name of the person who does every single thing all through the day. But instead, we do one pious in the early morning, and then we do another pious for the tummy, and then we do another pious for the Ketores. The reason that we do that is lahargish et ha'azarah. We want people to be aware and to be sensitive to the fact that this Aveda is being done and that it's so chashuv. Okay, so we do the actual truma in the sense of putting everything into those three big containers. That is the kiyum of Chodshei Hashana. Then we take out of those containers three times a year to be meragesh everybody into knowing. That's one reason. And as I mentioned earlier, we also have three times a year in order to include the shkolim that are local from Eretz Yisrael, the shkolim that come a month later from Bavel, and the shkolim that come a half a year later from Australia. Fine. Now that the Gemara is going to actually be meramistu. It won't be meramistu. Okay.
Hi, Mechaim.
So that tells us that there's much more than meets the eye, and much more, according to Reb Tavi and Reb Yeshia, much more than Reb Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak explained. It's not commemorative, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not just a mitzvah d'oraisa to bring shkolim, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to bring shkolim and to be turned them on Echad B'Nis. Rabbi Kaplan just called to remind me to please once again stress the deep need for shkolim for Pesach. So this is machrizin al hashkolim, as we learn our Mishnah, machrizin al hashkolim. Okay. What exactly is meant with the word of mashmi'im et hashkolim? Because the word mashmi'im, remember, was also used, this is mamish fascinating, it's hard to believe that this is a coincidence, right? Because when Shaul wants to gather Bnei Yisrael, so it uses the lashon of Vayishama Shaul. Vayishama is also a lashon of counting or gathering together. Might it be that the lashon of Mashmi'im means to gather the shkolim? Or does it mean just to announce the shkolim? Omar of Ravuna Omar, it means to announce. Now, I know why you don't like this. You don't like it because of the fact that we don't announce other mitzvahs. Do we run around announcing, everybody make sure you get your Korban Pesach together? We trust people are going to know that Pesach is coming, and they're going to take whatever steps is necessary to get their Korban. So why are we mashmim al hashkolim dafka? Why not just rely on people? Ah, says the Gemara, because Heich badat amar. That's like it says in the pasuk, and that pasuk says bedavka that when they needed the money for the shkolim, it says in Divrei Hayomim vayitnu kol b'Yehuda v'Yerushalayim lahavi laHashem masat Moshe eved Elohim al Yisrael b'Midbar. Is that a beautiful pasuk? So the masat Moshe, which was the burden that was defined by Moshe upon Kol Yisrael, and that was the Machzis HaShekel, which was brought in the Midbar, Al Yisrael, Bamidbar. They went out and were Mavir Kol Yehuda Yerushalayim, and they said, this shall be done. Now, of course, this could be because that was the entire idea of the Truma at the time. It was Mimochorat Yom HaKippurim, and it started, the whole thing started with the Hachroza, as we know, Parsha Zo Nemar Bahakel. And so because of that, it became part of the Masat Moshe to be Machriz on the Shkolim. It's a beautiful, beautiful remez. Okay, so even at the time of the Melachim and the Nevi'im, they used to be Machriz on the Shkolim. So if we have that minute from so early and we trace it back to Masat Moshe, that's why we do specifically Hachroza Kipshuta. Let people know. Now, Taman Taninan. Now, we do have a Mishnah in Megillah, which says, Ein bein adar harishon la adar hasheni, elam mikra Megillah, umatanat levyonim, and Rabbi Simon, b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, says, af shimua shkolim v'kilayim b'neihem. So now the question is, if you have an extra adar, which adar is the adar that you use for shimua shkolim? So the Parsha of Mishnah in Megillah spoke about Ein Bein Adar Rishon Adar Hasheni, except that Mikra Megillah can only be done in the second Adar, and Matonot Levionim can only be given together with that Mikra Megillah. Now the Gemara says over there that there is Machlokas, and the Arba Parshiot also can only be done in the Adar Sheni. Now Rabbi Simon adds over here, that's Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Simon in the Yerushalmi, B'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that we have to include also the Shkolim and the Kilayim. We do not do a Hachroza on the Shkolim in the Adar Rishon, and we don't do Hachroza on Kilayim. Said Rabbi Chalba, Rav Huna, and Rav quotes Rav Chiya Rabba as saying that everyone, now this Girsa, is a big machlokas, and it makes a tremendous nafka mina lalach. Many of the mefarshim take out these words and insert them later on, which makes a fantastic nafka mina. Because if we put in Reb Chalba's words here, namely, that hakol yotzim ba'arba'a asar, shehu zman kiryata, everyone will be yotze on the 14th of Adar, and you don't have to read on the 15th of Adar. That means that even if you live in Yerushalayim, you can read on the 15th of Adar. Now, on the 14th of Adar. The Mishnah, the way that we're bringing it at this location, means that it was talking about a year where there was an Adar Sheni, and the Adar Sheni was added after you already read in Adar Rishon. So therefore, what Rabbi Chalba is saying, that since Lamaisa, you already read the Megillah on the 15th of Adar Rishon, you can even Lechatchila read the Megillah on the 14th of Adar Sheni. And that is a completely different meaning than if we quote this later in the Sugya, where over there it is not talking about someone who was already Yotzei the Megillah in Adar Rishon. Lamaisa, most of the poskim bring it from the later Makar, because that's the way it appears in Masechet Megillah in the Yerushalmi. And on that basis, we have a very surprising halacha that is learned from this Gemara. And the surprising halacha is that if a ben krach, someone who lives in Yerushalayim, bedavka reads the Megillah on the 14th, and he does not read it kehilchasa on the 15th, that he's yotze. That's a very surprising psak. It's a big machlokas hapeskin. This is the way the Gro paskins, and itainus, this is the das of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. It's the way the Prima Gadim paskins, and it's all based on our Gemara today and the equivalent Gemara in Megillah. It's based on the Yerushalmi. Many of the other poskim taina that the Bavli argues and does not agree to Reb Chalba, and that we paskin like the Bavli, that you were not yotzei, but because of this, we are certainly makpid not to make a bracha if you read again on the 15th, because there are many shitas old, you are already yotzei. So this is
important. Maybe it would be negiah whether I could read by myself or whether I'm in a minyan. Is it zman kriyasa or is it shelo bizmana?
Yeah, also true. Okay, Omar Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, look, this is not Rabbi Yosi, it's probably Rabbi Yosa, it should be, but it's certainly an Amora. So, and because of that, I mean, there is in the Masoras HaShas, there's the Gears of Rabbi Yusa, which is the way we usually talk about the Amora of Rabbi Yusa. Anyway, so now, V'ya'ut. Now the V'ya'ut that he's saying is, yes, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who said that the Shkolim are made in Adar Sheni, is 100% right. Because why did we say that we're mashmiyim the shkolim so early? Because we wanted people to be able to bring the shkolim at the correct time. If you're going to tell people in Adar Rishon to start getting their shkolim ready, you've got 60 days left. So ad kedon eat peshat hashitin yumin, you're still going to have 60 days. And because of that, by the time it's time to bring your shkolim, everyone is going to forget. Because to make a hachraza early is not helpful. What you need to do is make the hachraza within the time that people say, oh, I better get to this. But if you leave them 60 days, they're going to say, okay, I'll worry about it in another month. And then they'll forget. And furthermore, why did we say yotzim al hakilayim? The reason that we said yotzim al hakilayim is because we waited for the tzmachim to be nikarim. Look, Deshu at Tzmachim Nikarim. So we want to be able to see the Kalayim in the fields. If you're going to go all the way back in a leap year to Adar Rishon, so Ad Kedonin and Dikikin, the plants will be too small for you to be able to see the Kalayim, to be able to Oker the Kalayim. So what would be the meaning of doing the Hachrazala Shkalim and the Hachrazala Kalayim in Adar Rishon? So I think that it's 100% a logistical requirement, what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. Now, Rabbi Chizkiah Sha'al. Now, the question over here is whether this Sha'al is like we often find in the Yerushalmi, that the word Sha'al is not Iboile. The word Sha'al is a way of saying over what you hold, except that you don't want to say Kiblu Da'ati. So you say, would you agree with me? And it's a polite way in the Yerushalmi of introducing some. Now, some of the Mefarshim on the daf over here take it literally, that Reb Chizkiah was Sha'al. But others learn that it means that he presented his shita. That me'ata, now that we understand that the reason, you just explained to me, the reason we wait until Adar Sheni is because it's all logistical. If it's all logistical, then I have an amazing insight. Because I would say that B'nai Bavel, they should take into consideration how long the FedEx is going to take to deliver their shkolim. And things were just as bad then as they are now with FedEx. And therefore, they should have to be machris on the shkolim in the beginning of the winter. Because they live so far away that if they don't organize the shkolim early on and ship it, it's not going to get there in time. Kadesh Yavio Yisrael Shikleyem Bo'onatam. And that way, Titareim Trumata Lishka Mina Chadasha Bizmana B'yachad B'nisan. So if it's really a fundamentally logistical problem, so then this Mishnah must have only been referring to Eretz Yisrael. Hitiv Rabbi Ula Kamei Rabbi Mana. So Rabbi Ula said, ah, I don't believe that. Because, I mean, Vatanina, Bishlosha Prakim Bishanator Mim Etalishka. We are going to see later on the Mishnah says that even though the mitzvah is to do the Trumas Halishka on the Rishon Chodesh Nisan, we actually do it three times a year. But those are the smaller kupot. So one of them is Bifros HaPesach, 15 days before Pesach, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. One is Bifros HaChag, Bifros HaTzeres, 15 days before Shavuot. And one is Bifros HaChag, 15 days before Sukkot. Now, says Rabbi Ula to Rabbi Mana, I mean, why is that? Isn't that because, I mean, I think, I would say, Lo Yamer, that the ones who are close to Eretz Yisrael, those are the ones whose coins get there in time to be taken out 15 days before Pesach. The ones in Bavel, that take all the way to close to Shavuos to get there, those are the coins that are brought before Atzeres. And the ones that live in Australia and take a half a year to get there, those are the ones whose coins are used Bifros HaChag. And that way, everybody has their coins being used. But that means that we've already made provisions, and we do not need everybody Shkolim to be there on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And is that not the whole point of doing it three times a year? So therefore, that would mean that in Bavel, they did not do a Hachroza in the beginning of the winter, like Reb Chizkiya says, because otherwise, why would we have to do a separate kind of truma for them if they would have gotten there that early anyway, according to the way Reb Chizkiya is learning it? Therefore, it appears that Reb Chizkiya is wrong, and that in fact, we do not do an earlier Hachroza, and we let the coins get there from when they need to get there. Amar Leih, said Rav Mana to Rav Ula, no, I do not believe that that is true. Now, this is the way that most of the Mefarshim learn. I will tell you my suggestion, but the point is that Kula Ka'achat Hiba, the truth is that we brought all of the Shkalim on the time for the first one. Now, what does that mean? So it could mean that this is, in fact, not a contradiction to Reb Chizkiya, which is the Pashtus. Reb Chizkiya is right. The Shkolim had to get there early. We had to make an announcement at the beginning of the winter. If it was in Australia, we gave them 6 months before to bring the Shkolim, et cetera, et cetera. Ah, you'll say, why do we say Shloisha Prokim? Kedei lasot pumbi ladavar. Because we want to be meragesh at Hazorah and to let everybody know that we're bringing it. Now, the truth is that this is not really based on Reb Chizkiya, and that in reality, what Rabbi Mana is saying to Rabbi Ula is, as we'll see later on in the Masechet, that when we brought the Trumas Halishka, we brought the Trumas Halishka on all of the Shkolim that were going to arrive, even if they had not arrived, as we'll see. And because of that, everyone all across the globe had a shear in the karbonis that were being brought in the Beis HaMikdash. But we bring it b'shlosha prakim so that, again, pashtus lasot pumbi, the way they're learning that this is going to be a riot, not a riot, but a understanding of Reb Chizkiya. What the reality is that we do not need to go like Reb Chizkiya to say what Reb Mana said. We always bring from the Trumas HaLishka on everyone, whether we have those coins here or not. And it may well be that you, dear Ula, are right. And the reason we do it three times is because we want the coins to be there. But the reason that we do it is not that you won't have a chelik in the karbonas if we wouldn't have done it that way, because you have a chelik in all the karbonas. We do it so that you should see that we are actually bringing these karbonas for you in Australia as well. And that would be the lasot pumbi ledavar. Now, once we see that we're talking about over here the building of the Mishkan and the Mimochros Yom HaKippurim, because of that, we want to understand that the main idea of the Mishkan, remember, was coming as a takana for the making of the Egel. And the Kapora over here was L'chaper al B'nai Yisrael. And the utilization of the Shkolim that we use for the Trumas Adanim to count them was a Kapora in building a Mishkan, which was part of the Yitzias Mitzrayim and the destruction of Avedah Zorah. And so because of that, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pasi points out, B'shem Rebbe, Heini Krav Aloni Ba'et, I ask you, can you read these psukim and not like absolutely go into shock? When Klal Yisrael was asked to bring for the Beis HaMikdash, did everybody bring? No. Kol Nadiv Leiv, people that were particularly generous, they brought. But when it came time to make the Egel Azov, what does it say? Vayit Barku Kol Ha'am. Everybody grabs everything they've got and give it to the Egel. I'll show you another example. L'tova. Vayotzei Moshe Sa'am. What does that mean? Moshe had to drag the people out because they weren't ready to come by themselves. But when it came, L'ra'ah, and they wanted to send the Meraglim, oh, Vatikravune Laikuchem, all of you are there pushing the Narim, Dochvim et HaZakenim. All of a sudden, everybody's interested. I'll give you another example. L'tova, Az Yashir Moshe Ovnei Israel. So to get people to sing, Moshe Rabbeinu had to start singing, and then people sang along with him. But when it comes Lira'ah, and it's time to say Loshon Hara, Vatisa Kol Heida, everyone lifts up their voice, and they start crying on the night of Tisha B'Av about how miserable and terrible everything is. You didn't need anybody to lead that. Everybody got in together. Isn't that awful? Om Reb Chiya Bar Ava, I'll give you another explanation. So, Achen Ishkimu Ishchitu. So, the Hir Tzvania is telling everybody, you should know, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I told everybody, Amarti, the pasuk goes, Amarti, Ach Tir'ioti, Tikhu Musar. I'm telling you, you can avoid this entire Churban. All you need to do is have some Yirah Shamayim. Take the Musar that I'm giving you. And then lo yikaret me'ona. Then the Beis HaMikdash won't be destroyed. Elchein? No. Hishkimu, hishchitu, kol alilotem. You have to get up early in the morning to screw up. Right. For that, everybody's ready to get up early. And this is normally, what do we have? Zrizin, our magdimi la mitzvah. So there's special people who have zrizin, and they're going to daven like the Netzach Hama, Kevatikan. But when it comes to be mashkis, kol ashkatash ayosi bashkama ayosi. You know, the first thing in the morning, everybody's up to destroy things. Okay.
Let's start a perv. I want everyone to remember this Yerushalmi. Remember? Okay. Doesn't matter.
It's treated in our magdim and lamitzvahs, but only yechidim. So it's only yechidim. Hashenkin, everybody's ready to get up early. Amar Rav Abba Baracha, you know, these Jews are insane. That's basically the bottom line, says Rav Abba Baracha. You think you can understand them? They're nuts. We asked them to bring money for the Egel. Sure, absolutely. Here's the Egel money. Then the next month you come along and you say, we don't want to build a Mishkan. Sure, here's money for the Mishkan. Nitbaim la Mishkan v'notnim.
They give Matanus Levyonim, they give Kimcha de Pischa.
Absolutely. Now, before we continue, I just wanted to, I'm sure I've mentioned before the story about Reb Chaim Brisker when they came to town and they were collecting for this new rabbinical seminary to train rabbis. So then everybody was giving money and we were tremendously mechabed the people that had come to collect. They came to Reb Chaim, he refused to give a dime. So they said to him, Rebbe, you can't imagine, everyone is giving b'lev shalem. He says, that's why I refuse to give. He quoted this Gemara. If everybody's giving, you can be absolutely certain it's terrible. Okay. Anyway, Taina's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, it's not true. What do you mean you can't understand? On the contrary, you can understand. Because the money that was being given for the Mishkan was dafka a takana for the money that was given to the Egel. That's the point, and that's why they wanted to give. They wanted to give to be metakein what they did. So it says, V'yasita kaporet zahav tohor. This is kaporet zahav tohor. Yavo zahav shel kaporet v'yakaporel zahav shel Egel. That's what's called kaporet. Because it was a kaporet, there's no contradiction. Adarabha, we want to be mechaper. And that brings us also to our Mishnah, because Reb Chagai B'Shem Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman says, you should know that this truma that we're talking about, the Zahav Shel Kaporet, is in the context of three separate trumas. Sholosh trumas nemru b'parasha zot. The trumat adanim, because we have three times the lashon of truma. We're going to analyze each one. The trumat adanim, which was precisely the Machzitz HaShekel, and we had the exact number of people as was required for the silver of the Adonim, the Trumat Shkalim, which is for the bringing of the Karbonas, and we have the Trumas HaMishkan. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yikuli Truma. That is referring to the Trumas HaAdonim. Me'et kol ish asher yidvenu libo tiku et Trumati. Trumati is a remez to the Trumas Shkalim. And then when it says Zota Trumash Tikumi Tam Zahav Vekesef and Choshet, which is all the 13 or 15 things that are listed, is the Trumas HaMishkan. The Trumas HaMishkan, that went for building the Mishkan. And that Mashi Yirtzu Yavil, they could bring whatever they want. Trumat HaShkalim, that came to bring the Karbonas. And their Mashi Yirtzu Yavil, What they want to bring, they can bring. Meaning, as long as everybody is the same, as long as Yad Kulam Shaveh, because Ashir Lo Yarbev Adal Lo Yamit, they can bring larger coins from Achshas HaShekel, smaller coins from Achshas HaShekel. That's what it means. And then the Trumata Adanim, that was La Adanim, and that was not more or less than a precise Machshas HaShekel. So there we answer you to change it at all. And says Reb Avraham, okay, but this is true also in Kitisa. After Parsha Zodnima Bashalosh Trumot. It's not only Truma that there's a remiss to three Trumot. It says Machzita Shekel Truma La Hashem. And then it says Itain Trumat Hashem. And then it says Latet et Trumat Hashem. So you see that indeed there were three separate Trumas with the same dinim that we discovered before. The Mishnah spoke about starting on Chamisha Asar Bokorim Tamegila Bikrachim, and we understood that the reference to the din of Kriyas HaMegillah in the middle of the story over here was essentially to provide us specifically with a marker on the 15th. That's why we're ignoring the 14th, because all of the things that we need to do in the Mishnah that continues on are part of the halacha of the 15th and not the 14th. Says the Gemara that it appears to be that this Mishnah is a absolute disproof of what the Amoraim say, because Lo Kinama Rabbi Chelba of Ravuna, the Rav B'Shem Rabchia Rabba, and this, remember we spoke about yesterday, this was the piece of the Gemara that we had before, which we said that there was a machlokas about whether we should be geiris it before the Gro took it out. It says it only belongs over here, because here we're talking about not a leap year. Here we're talking about in a normal year that you have to read on the 15th. And over here, B'Shem Rebchia Rabba, we're saying that HaKol Yotzim Be'arba Asar, Shehu Zman Kriyata. The main Zman of Kriyata Megillah is on the 14th. And because of that, everybody is Yotze on the 14th. So why does it say over here that Dafka on the 15th is the time that we have the Kriyas HaMegillah for people in the Krachim, if it's not necessarily so? Answers the Gemara, because Reb Chalba's din over here is Lobala Lametcha, Shekola Mitzvot HaNoagot Ba'Adar Sheni, Einan Noagot Ba'Adar Rishon. The truth is that our Mishnah is not a contradiction at all to Reb Chalba, and you really can be Yotze on the 14th. The reason that we say it's on the 15th is because it's part of the overall halacha of the din that kol mitzvot ha-noagot are noagot all in the second Adar. So in other words, we want you to know that the things that we spoke about before, which we had spoken about yesterday, the going out for the kilayim and the being machris on the shkolim, we bedavka, even though we didn't discuss it in that mitzvah, in that mishnah, about what the mitzvahs are of this, in Megillah, about what the mitzvahs of the first Adar Neg and the second, it's very much a logistical issue that we would not do it in the second. So therefore, when it's talking about over here, all it's trying to do is to give us the dinim of Kriyas HaMegillah in the second Adar. And so it's telling me that the 15th of the Adar is because all of these other mitzvahs are only Nogea the 15th. That's the whole point. So the Tana wanted to point out that the logistics are Mechayev the 15th of Adar and not the 14th of Adar. It's not coming to address here specifically that there's no way to be Yotze Megillah unless it's on the 15th of Adar. In Ochinami. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Acha, Havin Yosef, says, I mentioned to you yesterday, there's a big machlokas haposkin, whether this actually means that in a normal year, you could be Yotze if you were Kuri on your Dalit in Yerushalayim. The way that the Gro understands the sugya, which is why he changed the Girsa before, is that you absolutely can, and you would be Yotze B'diavad. And he holds that this is what the Shulchan Aruch holds, what the Rambam holds, is what he learned in those Iker texts, and the Prima Godim also holds that way. And as I mentioned yesterday, at the very least, you certainly would not make a bracha again if you were Kori on the 15th again. Reb Yosef, Reb Menacha were sitting together, and they were talking about this halacha that Reb Chalba just mentioned. So Reb Yosef says to Reb Acha, I'm not quite sure of how to understand what he was saying. Is he saying specifically that, it seems to me that it's more logical to say that Lo Mistavra L'Sha'avar, when Rabbi Chelbo was saying that you could be Yotze on the 14th, he was talking about a case where it was done, and then it's now the question that he was unable to read it on the 15th. If that would be the case, there's two girsos. So the girsa that's not asking it as a question is saying it's not mistaber. I'm telling you that it's not mistaber in a case where it wasn't avar. Because if it was avar, if it was already avar, what's he telling us? What? Mashayaya. There's nothing to do anyway. So therefore, what are you telling me? He must be telling me that Dafka, even afterwards, if he read it on the 14th, and it's not yet past the time of the 15th, he must be telling us that even Laba, that's what he's telling us. And therefore, the Hischidish is that he does not have to even do it over again. Because otherwise, he's not saying anything. He's saying if he read it on the 14th, there's nothing for him to do. Thank you. Of course, if it's already the 16th, there's nothing for him to do. So basically, the only way to understand it is that he's saying afilu l'chatchila. So I don't understand that. If I'm right that this is what he meant, so then doesn't it say in the Braita that makom shenagu l'krota shnei yamim korinota shnei yamim? So there we were talking about a question of cities that we're not 100% sure whether they were a mukefet choma miyamot Yoshua bin Nun or not. And in those cities, they would read it in 2 days, because they weren't certain that what the din was. Now, according to Reb Chalbo, this makes no sense, because even if they were a city that was Mukav Choma Mimot Yoshua Ben Nun, so why shouldn't they already be Yotze on the 14th if they're going to be reading it Mitzadah Suffolk on the 14th? How could anybody ever have 2 days of Kriya? The first day of the Kriya, you're always going to be Yotze in, according to Reb Chalbo. So what's the sense? Omar Lay, I'll tell you the truth. Af Anosover came. You can yell at me also because I happen to agree with Reb Chelbo, and nonetheless, I don't think this is a problem. Omar Rabbi Mona v'yeut. That's absolutely the truth, 100%. Because ilu mishakaria ba'arba'as. Let me ask you something. If the guy who read it according to Rabbi Chelbo, he read it on the 14th, and he doesn't read it again. So what are we going to say over there? Should we not say anything to him? Shema shomim lo, and we should say, yeah, let everybody go ahead and read on the 14th. What do you think that Rabbi Chelbo was saying? Rabbi Chelbo is arguing with the Megillah. The Megillah says, Biyom Chamishasar. So how could Rabbi Chelbo possibly say that somebody can go ahead and read on the 14th? All that Rabbi Chelbo was saying is that if he did it, he doesn't have to read again on the 15th, but that we will tell him he did Shalom Kedin. Because if you're not going to tell him, Imato American, if you're going to say, okay, yeah, whoever wants to read on the 14th can go ahead and read on the 14th. So then, Im Kenatao Kerzman Krachim Biyadcha. Then you're going to be going out to be Eker, the Takana of Mordechai Vaster, right? Because you're basically in no time at all. The whole idea of Kriya on the 15th will be completely forgotten. Everybody will make Purim on the same day. And the entire thing that they were trying to achieve was that there should be this special day that was Negea the Arim, that were Mekafes Chema from Yoshua. So obviously, you're confusing the issue over here. You said that it was not Lechat, you said it was not B'diavad, was l'chatchila. That doesn't mean it was l'chatchila that we allow you to do it. It means it was l'chatchila that you don't have to do it again. There's three different concepts here. One is, were you Yotze? Okay? And that means if you were Yotze, so then you could be happy. Nu. Says the Gemara, I'm sure that's not what he meant. That you were Yotze, you could be happy even if there's nothing to do. Okay? So what does it mean? It must mean you were Yotze and you don't have to read it again. Okay, does that also mean, though, the way that we usually use the word l'chatchila? That if somebody wants to just say, forget it, I don't want to read on the 15th, I'll read on the 14th because it's more convenient? Of course not. Well, you think nobody's going to tell them what's the matter with you? The day of Kriya is the 15th. So, because otherwise we might as well throw out the Megillas Esther. So if that's the case, the same thing is true when people are dealing with the suffix about whether their city is Mukefet Chomer Mimot Yehoshua Ben Nun. Even Reb Chelbo, if you would ask him what to do in that case, of course he would say, you're talking about Lechatchila, where you're being koveya the din of when to read. So then, even though you read it on the 14th, Bitam HaSafek, I would still tell you to read it on the 15th. I wasn't talking about when to be koveya the din. I was talking about if somebody went ahead and read it. But in this case, we're reading it in order to be Yotze the Safek. And the preservation of the original dates of the Megillas Esther is certainly paramount. Of course I agree to that. And therefore, asking me from cities that read on 2 days is ridiculous. It has nothing to do with the issue. Now, we said that the dinim, we just said that we're using the 15th as a marker to teach me that all of the mitzvahs that we spoke about that are need to be done that are not related directly to the dinim of the Zman HaShana, but that are made as a preparation for the coming of Pesach and the end of the winter, that those do not apply in Adar Rishon. They only apply in Adar Sheni. Now, it says in the Braita, Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Mitzvot ha-noagot ba-Adar Sheni are not noagot ba-Rishon, except for one thing, Hesped v'tainis. Hesped v'tainis, that you're not allowed to give a Hesped on Purim, and you're not allowed to be Mitaneh on Purim, that is the same in Adar Rishon as it is in Adar Sheni. And therefore, in the Purim Katan, which is the first Adars, 14th and 15th, you are also not allowed to fast, and therefore, it would be, that part would be the same between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Rebbe Ba, remember Rebbe Ba is a shortening of what in the Bavli is always Rebbe Abba, except that in Israel they always leave out the olives. So Rebbe Ba and Rebbe Yirmiyah b'shem Rav, and Rabbi Simon, b'shem Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, they said that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and Rav Huna, who was Rav Huna Rabba from Tzipori, he said Rabbi Hanina, some have a girsa over here that is Rabbi Hananya, was noyeg, and he made the minig in Tzipori like this halacha of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But note that he used the word hinhig. Hinhig means he made it a minhag. He didn't say that he was pasak or he was dorash. He said he was hinhig. So you'll note, says the Gemara, lo amar ela hinhig. He never said that it's a halacha. And now there's a big difference between that, because a hanhaga, we don't give during the kala to tell everybody how to act. If somebody asks how I should act personally, you tell them this is the minhag. But we don't go out to be koveya a halacha al pi the minhag. Now, even though we just said that the dinim are different in Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, what does that mean? That you can only be bekayim all of these halachas in Adar Sheni, like going out for kilayim, etc., etc. That should not be confused with the question of the reference to Adar Sheni. What is the way in which we refer to Adar? Because this can make a tremendous nafkamina. Is a get kosher, for instance, if the date of the get, which was given in Adar Sheni, let's say it was given on the 10th of Adar Sheni, suppose it just says Yud Ba'Adar. Is it kosher? Or vice versa, if it was given in Adar Rishon, and it just says Yud Ba'Adar, and it was a leap year, where there are two Adars, how do we refer to the Adar? This could make tremendous nafkaminas in monetary contracts, obviously. It could make a tremendous nafkamina in terms of nedarim. Somebody makes a neder that I am not going to eat the entire month of Adar any bread. Which Adar is he referring to? Could make a tremendous nafkamina in terms of rentals. If you didn't specify which Adar is meant, and so on and so forth. So you would be mistaken to jump to the conclusion that the halachas about what things are done in which Adar also are that which defines which Adar people refer to as Adar Stam and which one they always need to append an additional information, meaning Rishon or Sheni. And therefore, the Gemara now wants to point out that when it comes to the inyan, aval inyan shtarot, in other words, even though Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said that all of the mitzvahs in Adar Sheni do not apply in Adar Rishon, which would have led you to believe that he holds that the real Adar is only Adar Sheni, when it comes to the inyan of shtarot, then it's a machlokas. Now, elsewhere it says, Beferish, that Rabbi Meir Omer, not Stam, as it said over here, that Rabbi Meir Omer, so according to Rabbi Meir, we write during Adar Rishon, we call it Adar Rishon, and something that occurs in Adar Sheni, we would say Adar Sheni Stam, and that would be consistent with your jumping to conclusions in Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda says, during Adar Rishon, then we bedafka just write Adar. During Adar Sheni, we write Adar Tinyan. We write the second Adar, and therefore this machlokus over here has to do with Lashon B'nei Adam. Remember that when it comes to Nedarim and when it comes to contracts, the halacha of what things we do when is not really the defining issue. And because of this, indeed, there's a big nafkamina between the halacha that Adar Sheni is the halachic Adar Sheni and the din that Adar Sheni has to be written Adar Tinyana, which is the way that we do it.